Amazing Grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. Then you would bear my cross. You're listening to Connecting Faith, and every other Wednesday, we have opportunity to connect with Leith Anderson, who's been president of the National Association of Evangelicals since 2006 and was the senior pastor of Wooddale Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota for 35 years before that. And we have the opportunity to connect with him, just talk about a variety of issues. And Leith, welcome back to Connecting Faith. I thought in light of our conversation the past few minutes on growing young and talking a bit about encouraging young people to discover and love the church. And we had a pastor on last week who said, you know, there was a time in his life where he viewed children's ministries as kind of a means to an end, hoping that you get the kids there, the parents would come. It's wondering, do you think that maybe is a common issue for pastors to wrestle with?
There's so many pastors with so many issues. Probably you can find somebody that's got just about any opinion you want. That would not be my opinion.
Okay.
My opinion are that children and youth are actually people, and that we need to reach people, and we need to minister to them, and it's not about their age or who else they're going to bring. It's that we need to minister to them.
Yeah, which absolutely true. And but there were, I'm sure there was challenges as a pastor to say, you know, we the trends. As we addressed, you know, there is a declining church attendance, and it's also aging. So do you see any changes in that trend, or maybe are there areas where that is changing and looking better?
Yeah, I challenge the notion that there's declining church attendance. I don't think that's the case. It's declining in some demographics and some areas, but overall, I think it's pretty stable and even slightly growing in America. But when it comes to youth ministry, it's different because of different generations. The baby boomers, 76 million of them, were our largest generation, born from 46 to 64. And it was that generation that really brought youth ministry to churches. It brought Youth for Christ, Billy Graham, all this amazing emphasis on youth. But then with millennials, we have those born 1980 into 2000 plus, a larger generation even than the baby boomers. But the current youth generation is smaller. There are fewer children. Millennials are getting married later, having fewer children. So a church that decides we're going to have a lot of 12-year-olds and they weren't born 12 years ago, that's, you know, you can't get the people that weren't born. So every church leader really needs to have a pretty good handle on their own community. What are the demographics there? What's happening in the schools? In some areas, it's really growing. Others, it's really changing. Others, it's really declining. And then defining ministry for who we're going to reach in our particular situation. But, you know, there's one thing that's always the same, every generation, and that is relationships. Effective youth ministry really is more about people than programs, although programs and facilities, they're important as well.
Sure. Well, Leith, I know your latest book was focusing on voting, and you know, even though we probably don't want to talk much more about it, there's a major presidential debate tonight. We're not that far away from election, and obviously revelations about, you know, the character of both candidates makes us wonder, I guess, how much should character factor into our choices? I've noticed the data just out yesterday said party affiliation was a stronger predictor than faith and for some people voting. What are your thoughts on how we look at maybe this year's particular situation?
Well, you've got it right that we need to be careful that we don't talk too much about it because there is election fatigue in America. You know, people are watching other programs on television and doing other things because they're kind of wearing thin. But I would say character counts. It's not the only factor, but it is a really important factor. Just recently, I actually looked up the definition of character, and at least the definitions I found were it's moral excellence, and another definition is it's the way someone thinks, feels, and behaves. So, you know, I know people talk about David in the Old Testament and Paul in the New Testament and adultery and murder and all those things are part of their biographies, but they clearly had hearts for God, and that was part of their character. You know, another way I was thinking about it, in one of our major airlines, if you call in to make a reservation or change your seat or whatever, you get a recording and it says, stay on this call for 15 seconds after you talk to the agent, and we're going to take a survey with one question. And the one question, and you've got to decide yes or no, the question is, would you hire this person to work for you? And that's both a character question and a competence question. In other words, did you relate to this person and trust this person? And the other, were they competent in what they had to say? So we can't fully predict how a leader will handle an unanticipated or future situation. But, you know, we need to make a judgment, and judgments on these things are based on past performance and character and qualifications. So, I mean, that's how we choose a doctor, a dentist, a lawyer, a counselor, a husband, a wife. And I think it's the way we choose leaders as well. Character is really important. It really counts. It's one of the major factors.
Aleith, obviously, after November 8, there will be fellowshipping in church, and we'll be breaking bread together. Is there, anything that maybe advice you'd give about, how do we maybe bridge the polarization that has taken place?
Well, we bridge the polarization by calling people back to the biblical norms. And keep in mind that in the New Testament, there were Jews and Gentiles, there were Romans and Greeks, there were people that had just astonishingly different political perspectives. And they came together in Jesus Christ. And I mean, when you think about that, I mean, slave owners and slaves together in the same church, and they had a bond in Jesus Christ. And that's what our churches need to call us to, that's a far bigger reason and 10 million times more important than political affiliation or opinion.
Yeah. Aleith, just curious, you pastored for, one church for 35 years, but before that as well. But how do you address hot topics, those areas where, culture is, making the just challenging us, I guess, in how we live out our faith. How do you approach that? And any advice for pastors today?
Well, that's not an easy decision to make, because there are always hot topics. I think the concern for pastors is around what is prophetic and what is political, and what's personal and what's popular. Wow, had four words that start with P there. And I think there's a risk that we can sometimes confuse or conflate these things. So it's possible for a pastor to have a personal or a popular opinion and somehow act as if that's prophetic. My advice is pretty simple, and that is always start with the Bible and stick with the Bible. I'll tell you a personal test of mine. If I'm explaining Bible principles that relate to some hot topic, I think it through and say, would these principles be the biblical principles that could be explained to somebody who speaks a different language in Africa or Asia? Or what if I could go back in time and preach and teach this 1,000 years ago in the Middle East or Europe? That's my test on whether these are truly biblical, talking to people that have never heard of the United States or don't know anything about our current hot topics. And then if the answer to that question is yes, then on the basis of what the Bible teaches and those principles, then I can talk about those things in terms of current situations and current decisions. As a pastor, I've always leaned towards teaching the Bible systematically and then tying in the topics rather than starting with the topics and throwing in the Bible.
We start with the Bible, stick with the Bible. That is wise counsel. I always appreciate the opportunity to connect with Aleith Anderson, president of the National Association of Evangelicals, longtime pastor. Aleith, always good to talk with you. Thanks for your good words today.
Good. Thanks for our conversation. It's great.